This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com. Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
You know, before beginning this episode of the Paracast, Randall and I were considering all the great guests we've had this year. Such guests as Brooks Agnew, and he was pretty fascinating because he was going to be involved in an expedition to the Arctic to look for, what, a hollow Earth?
I don't have much confidence that he's going to find it, but it was sure an interesting discussion. And, of course, Professor Paul Kingsbury, I think he's had to be one of the highlights of our academics that we've had on the show, who takes the subject of ufology very seriously from a social point of view and maps it against his background in social geography. Really cool stuff.
Well, today we have another scientist. Dr. Michael Masters, professor of biological anthropology at Montana Tech in Butte, Montana. Now, the key thing here is that he's written a book with a title that is most fascinating. It's called Identified Flying Objects, a Multidisciplinary Scientific Approach to the UFO Phenomenon. And the blurb from his publicist says it challenges readers to consider new possibilities while cultivating conversations about our ever-evolving understanding of time and time travel. Let me cut to the chase, Michael. Is this about UFOs from the future?
Yeah, that's exactly what it's about. The whole book just takes, as you said in the subtitle, a multidisciplinary approach to this question, tying together the research from anthropology, physics, astronomy, and astrobiology to make a case that they are just us continuing the same long-term evolutionary trends in culture and biology into the future and coming back through time to study us in their own past.
Now, there's so many questions one can ask about time travel, but I think let's get back to the beginning of your interest. Now, prior to researching and writing this book, were you interested in UFOs at all?
I was, yeah, my entire life. It's been something that I've been interested in ever since I was a young child. I was about 8 years old when I first heard a story that my father was telling to some friends that were over at our house, and it really piqued my interest in it, and really kind of over my lifetime studied things that would help me to understand it better and to be able to write a book that wasn't just speculative, unfounded claims, but rather was something that could be backed up by valid scientific research. So, yeah, in a way, it's kind of been a lifelong pursuit.
Now, in following this slant, obviously the common perception is that UFOs, flying saucers, UAPs, whatever we wish to call them, are visitors from another planet. Is that something you rejected early on or what?
Well, not necessarily, and I still don't necessarily reject it. I try to make a case in the book for why it's not as likely of a scenario and looking at all of the evidence and just our knowledge of human evolution and the evolution of our culture and technology and language. So I don't necessarily create a straw man fallacy where I just prop up the extraterrestrial model to beat it down and replace it with something, but rather just very cautiously approach this question of extraterrestrial life and what we know through studies in astrobiology and cosmology, planetary sciences, and to show that it's relatively unlikely that we would get another advanced life form that happened to be a bipedal, meaning upright walking hominin form with the same physical characteristics as us, that also happens to exist close enough to Earth that they'd be able to find us and close enough that they'd be able to travel here all of these things occurring at the same time in a short period relative to the 14 billion year history of this universe we live in, and then just show how many aspects of the vetted reports involving this phenomenon are things that would seem to make more sense in the context of the continuation of the same multi-million year biocultural trends in hominin evolution.
But isn't it so, from what we've determined, that many of the elements present here on Earth are duplicated on other planets? And if you have the same building blocks, wouldn't that result in life forms that are not dissimilar to the ones that come here? I mean, you could have walking, talking dolphins, I suppose.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But we don't have walking, talking dolphins being reported coming out of these craft or abducting people and doing things to them. And like I've said many times before, if they were some sort of non-human-like form, a squid thing or a dolphin or a spider thing, I never would have written this book. But the fact that the vast majority of these reports involve something so very similar to us, and importantly, not just a hominin life form that fits well within the primate order, but also one that happens to have traits where if you took the same progression of the same characteristics over the last 6 to 8 million years since we last shared a common ancestor with what became the chimpanzee, if you project those forward, even outside of the context of anything that might happen between now and then, whether we blow up the Earth and have to live in space or on the moon or anything like that, even discounting any of those forces that may shape our future evolutionary history, I guess, looking back, if you just project those simple trends forward, we are very likely to look much like these alien beings, or what I dub extraterrestrials in the book, to highlight the fact that they may simply be from time. We'd have a bigger, rounder head, bigger eyes, smaller face, a thinner, less robust body build and musculature and skeletal anatomy. And these are all of the things that tend to be the most commonly reported. Yeah, it's definitely possible that there's complex life out there. In fact, it's almost certain, given how many stars there are in the universe and how many of those have planets. But even small things, and I highlight this in the book, something like gravity. We're one of very few mammals that walks upright on two legs, and we suffer all kinds of problems associated with that. We have bad knees and backs and hernias and varicose veins and fainting. All of these problems result from the fact that we stood upright when, in fact, we would be better off to remain quadrupedal. So even a planet that's slightly larger and more massive than Earth, you're not likely to see the same bipedal form on those planets because of that limitation. Then you factor in the distance from their star, the atmosphere, the chemistry, the physical properties of their planet beyond gravity, and it's very unlikely that we would have the same bipedal hominin form evolve on those planets in the same way that they did here on Earth.
Well, I think if I could jump in there, what we're starting with is the assumption that the beings that are being reported are actually the creators of the craft they came in, mm-hmm. when maybe that's not the case at all. Maybe we've got something separate behind the scenes, like some Wizard of Oz thing that is creating the illusion of these beings for our benefit, and that we really don't know what the actual aliens themselves look like. And so they are creating these various illusions somewhat in our image in order to see how we relate to them.
Yeah, that's certainly a possibility. Yeah, you would expect, if that were the case, that they would create something familiar to us. Why not use our own form to do such? You'd think that they would make them more like us and less future-looking, if you can project these same past trends forward. But yeah, I mean, or in that case, why not make them all puppy dogs or little kittens that are very non-threatening because they're things that we find to be cute as a result of kinshinshima, as Lorenz called it. These nurturing characteristics come out in us because of big eyes and big heads and big paws in the case of puppies and kittens. So, yeah, I mean, that's always a possibility. Yeah.
It's why aren't you just telling me here that possibly our little dog teddy bear or Bichon, he is one of them. In disguise.
Yeah. Hey, there you go. He's been spying on you this whole time.
I wonder about him. We got Dr. Michael Masters author of Identified Flying Objects with Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-301-5435. That's 800-301-5435, 800-301-5435.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live-underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Hi, my name is Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy, some uncle I never knew, called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars, and they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called the Tax Doctor. And the Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS. And they're able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less.
800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. That's 800-985-1610.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Michael Masters joining us. He has a PhD in anthropology. And we're talking about his book, Identified Flying Objects, which basically posits that E.T. may be us in the future. Now, the other thing, since I brought up the possibility that we're not seeing the creatures or entities in their true form, the movie Contact, where when the Jodie Foster character supposedly travels in this craft built with alien designs, she meets someone who looks like her dead father. And she's told that that being takes this form so she could accept its appearance.
Yeah, that's a great movie. I remember watching that as a kid, maybe a teenager. I don't remember when exactly that came out. But yeah, I mean, it speaks to your point that they're potentially masking their identity. But I don't know. And looking at all of the different abduction reports, too, there does seem to be a sense that when they're interacting with these beings, and especially looking into their eyes, seeing their humanness through this window to the soul and looking into their eyes and being a part of that relationship, the communication that takes place, them speaking in our own languages, all of these things as people report them, not just a humanoid or human-looking being, but the true essence of humanness seems to come across in these. And even disregarding their appearance and whether it's an illusion or this is their actual physical form in the future, you can also look at the evolution of our technology and the things that we have made and the things we can do in our current knowledge of physics and time travel and see in these craft what is very likely the end result of the same research that's been going on since 1915 when Einstein published his paper on general relativity. You can see this evolution in our understanding of time and time travel and the technology that may make that possible, even outside of their physical form. So there's a cultural evolutionary link there, too, that I don't think should be disregarded.
Okay, the basic core here is time travel. Time travel is obviously part and parcel of sci-fi. We had this movie Time Cop about this organization that sends officers back through time to undo things. Obviously, some of the comic books deal with multiverses, alternate versions, and they go back and forth through time, such as The Flash on the CW. There's a TV show called Legends of Tomorrow, using a craft called the Wave Rider, and the Wave Rider travels back through time. Of course, it's kind of a goofy show where whenever they fix a problem with the time stream, they mess up something.
Yeah.
They screw it up. You know, one thing is fixed, two things are broken, but it makes for a lot of fun. And that is another question I have about time travel. And that gets to be a kind of a complicated thing, but let's talk about the possibilities of time travel here. So, if you go back through time and you do something, anything, not just observe, but any interaction, even, you know, accidentally, wouldn't that multiply over the years, the centuries, to change the future? Or if we go the other way, that was part of the future anyway.
Yeah, and that's something that I really dive deep into in the book, because we have a couple of different issues here. One, as a society, we don't talk about time, and I find that to be very problematic. As St. Augustine said, it's this thing that governs our lives and dictates so much about our everyday interactions, but we don't understand it. We don't talk about it. And I think that's a big problem. And I'm hoping to change that with this book, at least in a small capacity. Another one is the issue of television and movies. Like you said, there's all of these different movies and TV shows that try to make storylines around time travel. And they do so in a way that's not necessarily representative of how physicists understand time. It makes for some great entertainment. I remember watching Time Cop, too. That was with Sylvester Stallone or what's his name?
Jean-Claude Van Damme.
No, seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Well, I was picturing somebody completely different in that role. That explains why I watched it. I was a huge fan of his as a kid. But, yeah, so you have all of these scenarios, and what they like to do is show what you were describing in the first example. There's the butterfly effect where you go back and I remember a classic Simpsons episode where he gets out of his time machine during the Jurassic period and steps on a bug and he comes home and all of his family are shaped like donuts or something like that. I don't remember the actual storyline, but that's what you see most often in these shows. You go back and you change something about yourself or your parents, like a Back to the Future scenario where Michael J. Fox, his parents aren't getting together, then he starts to disappear. And while all of these things are super entertaining, it's not really the way that time is understood by physicists. They refer to something known as block time or landscape time. And the dominant view among physicists and cosmologists is that every event, every moment that exists from the very beginning of the Big Bang to the very end of the universe, all is there as one static giant block of time. And the only reason that it feels like it moves is because we have consciousness. We as biological organisms, to make sense of this environment that we live in, move through it in a seemingly linear fashion. And that's the third thing I wanted to mention, is our false notions of linear time, or this feeling that time moves from past to future, and there's a past cause that leads to a future effect. But in looking at time and the context of physics, these different processes in the universe work just as well running from future to past. They're time symmetric, as they're called. So the same thing applies in looking at humans and the possibility of backward time travel, where if you go into the past because of this giant massive block of all events, anything that you did in that past have already manifested themselves in the future prior to you even leaving to go do that. They're already a part, an inherent part of that past, and this connection between your future and whatever cause comes with you from that future to an illicit effect in the past is already part of that future before you go back there. So there aren't really paradoxes in the way they're oftentimes perceived. And most of the work that I highlight in the book is by modern, well-respected physicists. And one individual, Igor Novikov, who wrote tremendously great work on this question, to the extent that they named it after him, his well-esteemed colleagues, one of them, Kip Thorne, who just won a Nobel Prize recently for discovering gravitational waves, even said we should all call this the Novikov self-consistency principle, and we've gotten on board with this. So I mostly highlight how in classical and quantum physics, these things aren't really even self-correcting. There's no need for another timeline or anything like that. They're just self-consistent. There's an inherent self-consistency across these different interconnected regions of block time.
So whatever you decide, if you want to go back through time, has already been decided, but does that take away free choice, that we are therefore destined to live one kind of life or another, do one thing or another? I want to understand this, and we'll do that in our next segment. He is Dr. Michael P. Masters. The book identified flying saucers, but it doesn't identify them as conventional in the sense that we talk about conventional. More to come with Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Fellow patriots, my name is Todd Savage, founder of BlackRifleRealEstate.com. Like you, I was a prisoner of the alt-left sanctuary state until one day I chose to lead my family to freedom. Today we live on a sustainable 20-acre homestead where we shoot, hunt, garden, and homeschool our children without the tyranny of the nanny state looking over us. If you're ready to flee the city to the freedom of Idaho or Montana, our Black Rifle Real Estate team is here to help. Go to BlackRifleRealEstate.com. That's BlackRifleRealEstate.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
President Trump went to North Korea. It was a short but very historic visit, as he was the first to cross into the country from the demilitarized zone. He was there greeted by North Korean leader Kim Jong-un, who spoke through his interpreter.
I've never expected to meet you at this place.
Then, just after that,
President Trump has just walked across the demarcation line that made him the first U.S. president to visit our country.
이 행동 자체만 보시지 말고. They posed for pictures in the north, then they both walked flocked together to meet with South Korean President Moon Jae-in in the South.
A lot of really positive things are happening, and I'm glad to be here to see it. But tremendous positivity. Really great things are happening, and in a lot of places. But we met, and we liked each other from day one, and that was very important.
This is USA Radio News.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-370-2715.
There's a place for answers. A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-370-2715. That's 1-800-370-2715.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat. I would flip-flop all night long. I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed. It's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So, as we talk about going back through time and likely making changes, that, wait a minute, those changes were already made, or it's part of the time stream that these changes were made, does that mean we have no free choice? That whatever we do is already out there and we just live it, live through it?
I plead the fifth. I don't want to answer that question. I'm kidding. The reason I say that, though, is because every time this comes up and I, not even my own opinion, but just what physicists say with regard to this question, I get tons of hate mail from people telling me, no, free will, it exists. We're in control of our destiny. But unfortunately, I see it the opposite. I think it's great. I don't want to have to choose things. I would rather just be following a script or a series of events that are always going to be that way. It certainly feels like you're choosing things. And I cite one physicist in particular who says that, you know, even though physicists know, there's this collectively, they all understand that because of the nature of block time, we're all just moving through these things that feel as though we're making choices. We certainly feel that way. And they still talk about, oh, what are we going to have for dinner? What do you want to do this weekend? But it doesn't really exist in the sense that we're actively deciding that future outcome. And here's something that people need to keep in mind, and hopefully this will help them not be so mad at me after they listen to this, is that it doesn't change anything about how you feel and what your consciousness is doing as you're moving through these series of events. You can still believe in free will if you like belief systems and you need to feel that this is true in your own life. And I'd love to do a survey on this and look for an age relationship. But I think it's when you're younger, especially, you look at the future and you see all of these possibilities, these potential outcomes of decisions that you feel that you're making. But at the end of your life, if you're lying on your deathbed and you're going to die in a couple hours, everything that you have ever thought you were going to do has ended up being whatever your life was. There was only one line. There was only one outcome or one storyline throughout your entire life. And I feel like people that are older might understand that more, or at least feel differently about this idea of free will in the context of physics and block time than people who are younger, who have bright eyes and bushy tails, and they want to go conquer the future and do all of these things. But it's really about perception more than anything. We can understand how the universe works and understand the physics of time without it ruining our day or taking away our perception of free will. You can still feel that these things are real in the same way that physicists do, even though they're most likely not.
And, okay, there's a lot to unpack already. Boy, are we getting off to a really deep start in the show on this. Now, I'm going to set aside the conversation on the probability and the possibility of time travel just for a couple of moments here. But definitely I'd like to come back to it later, because I'm one of those people that have a real issue with the whole idea. But how is it connected now to the reports of unidentified flying objects and the beings that come from them? And can you give us a couple of good examples of reports that help to sort of support the idea that at least the concept of time, whatever it is an important factor?
Obviously, the Rendlesham Forest comes to mind. Jim Peniston, who even claims to have been given information where they told him, "We are you from the future." And he, as far as this, I know of the story. I just learned of this, fortunately, right before I published the book. So I had time to squeeze it in there before my editor got a hold of it. Yeah, it was an amazing thing to read, because if this story is accurate and these things did indeed happen, then it's another line of evidence in addition to what I have been showing. And especially when you get into the things that he talks about why they're here. They tell him that they're coming back because there's problems with their chromosomes and their genes. And I'd already written a whole probably 10-page part in the book about a current trend towards genetic homogenization, where we used to have all these different isolated populations and gene flow among them. But now that we're just one large earthbound interbreeding population, it almost seems inevitable that at some point in the future, we will suffer from an increase in homozygous recessive traits, or those ones that end up being negative traits that show up with inbreeding. If we become a more inbred population, we're going to have less genetic diversity. Coming back through time is the only place you can get new gene variants. So the sampling of sperm, eggs, possible hybridization and creating zygotes and embryos and fetuses from that. And by the way, if you believe in hybridization, you also have to believe that these individuals are human, just based on the biological species concept in biology, that to reproduce with another organism, they have to be the same species as you. So if you wanted to come back and get new gene variants from haplotypes that didn't even make it into the future, now you have completely novel gene variants from the past that you can interject into the future. And we do this now with other animal species. If there's an animal that's on the brink of extinction and they have a very small population size, we'll go to different regions and try to find that same species and other gene variants to intentionally add new variation to that population to stave off some of these problems. So seeing that story, that account from a completely different source, somebody I'd never met, I'll actually get to meet him at the MUFON conference next month where we'll both be speaking. But prior to that, I hadn't even heard of this. And then to see this person who claims to have been contacted by them and told they're from the future and told we're coming back because we have problems with fecundity and fertility was really an interesting case study. When I became aware of that.
That's pretty interesting, but it's also not too hard for us to make those same kinds of predictions. So, is there any sort of predictions that these ETs or whatever they are, ET meaning from the future, in this case, because there's a whole bunch of different perspectives and on what ET means or ways of looking at it. But in this case, from the future, where they say, okay, on this date, on this time, this is going to happen, and it actually happens. But something more concrete, where I don't know, lottery numbers, newspaper headlines, something really specific, instead of these sort of vague notions that we always get that pretty much anybody could come up with.
Well, I'd like to take issue with referring to these as predictions. Predictions innately sounds more speculative, and you could almost substitute the word speculations in there as a synonym. What I was just describing is based on established trends in hominin evolution. I think it's important to make a distinction between predictions and trends. For instance, how we're always trying to figure out what flu vaccine we're going to need in each individual year, and it's based on past data, and use that past data to try to predict which one of these strains will come out. You can look at modeling, you can do computer simulations, and then the health department, the CDC, picks whichever one they think is going to be, and it's based on data. So it's the same thing. I'm not speculating about what is going to happen in the future.
Excuse me for a sec. I'm not saying you're speculating. I'm talking about stories of the occupants of these craft, the aliens who you do kind of speculate that the aliens might be future representations of humanity. But
yeah, again, though, based on past trends and things that have happened throughout our evolutionary history.
Right. And that's fine. That's really interesting, actually. We can certainly talk about that, like, separate from the idea of whether or not we believe that that's actually happening.
Let's do our break here, Randall, because we've got a lot more to talk about. Okay. I'm going to ask about traveling
to the future.
But
I'd like to finish this question, though. I know, I really would.
I got a break.
Yeah, let's write it down.
I got a break, guys.
Got a break.
Hey, we'll discuss this and some ideas I have. Maybe the reverse. Can we travel to the future? What will we discover? Dr. Michael Masters with Gene and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on this special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First game Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is the coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and the Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at rockoids.com. That's rockoids, rockoids.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
This is Robert Hastings, author of UFOs and Nukes, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Okay, Dr. Michael Masters, our guest. We're talking about UFOs in the future. Randall, you were starting off a question. Would you go ahead, please?
Right. Yeah. No, I was talking about claims then, let's call them claims rather than predictions, that the ETs themselves have made that will take place with all degree of certainty that can be confirmed without any uncertainty.
Right. I see what you're saying. So if they wanted to prove that they were from the future, they could say the winning lotto numbers on June 28th, 2019 will be such and such. And then we say, yes, that's what they are.
Right. Well, they should be able to do that for a week or a month.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then, you know, I think I'd be inclined to listen, but it seems to me that like everything else with the UFO phenomena, it's always vague and just out of reach to get any kind of proof regarding exactly what it is we're dealing with.
Right. But that specific question, also, there's a couple angles where you could come at that. If they were from, say, 10 years in the future, you would expect them to have that knowledge. They could look up various lotto numbers on the internet or newspaper and say this is what they'll be. Once you get far enough into the future, and based on the physical characteristics of these reported alien beings, it would seem that there is a pretty long time period between us now and them in the future, just based on the physical characteristics they have. And as someone who studied the evolutionary history of hominins, and especially our craniofacial anatomy as part of my dissertation research and the papers I've published since graduating here at Montana Tech, if the same trends continued at the rate, admittedly an accelerating rate, it would probably be many thousands, if not tens of thousands of years before we actually get to that point where what we're seeing, they have those traits. And if that was the case, they might not have access to that information. Clearly, they have access to historical linguistic, regional, and also temporal linguistic groups. But something like that. And also another issue with that is they would seem to be going out of their way to not really interact yet, to not just plop down and say, hey, we're from the future. Or if it is the case of extraterrestrials, hey, we're from some planet in some solar system. But And looking at that question, if they are time travelers, you would expect that behavior more. If they're from outer space and they flew all the way across the universe, you'd expect them to get out and interact with us more, announce their presence. But and even though, as we talked about earlier, even though there aren't paradoxes, there's not some sort of disruption or butterfly effect that happens when you interact with the past, it still overcomplicates things. And especially among people who don't yet know about time. Like I mentioned, we don't talk about it. We don't study it. It's not something that we as a society are probably quite ready for. We also don't have disclosure about UFOs. It seems to be happening. But once that happens, though, it may be possible that there is much more intertemporal interaction, and we break down those barriers, and they probably still won't give us lotto numbers or tell us what stock to pick, but there's probably going to be more interaction, and you would expect that to happen after we understand the situation as opposed to before it. So yeah, I think if they wanted to, they could easily say this is going to happen in this year because it's already a part of their history, their past. It's easier for them to see relative to us looking forward into this opaque future. But it doesn't seem like that's necessarily something that's on the table
okay.
right now.
Well, okay, let's just, for a second here, let's just assume that that's the case. We're talking about time travelers. So, okay, they might not have the information, say, 10,000 years in the future, but if they wanted to prove it to us that they're time travelers, they could just come back to 2 or 3 months from our future now, check them out then, take them with them, and then come back in time and tell us. So there is nothing preventing them from actually proving it to us if they really wanted to.
Yeah, not at all. I talk about that in the book, too, and it's something that came up with my class recently, is they were all saying, aren't you sad that we'll never know in our lifetime? Like, even though this is a testable model, and it's falsifiable in the context of time because it's making a case for something in our human future, you're going to be long dead before they build these time machines. And I made that same argument that, well, they could come back and pick up anyone from at any point in our future. They come back and get me 30 years from now if I'm still alive and come back and say, hey, you're from the future and so are they. And they gave me a ride even though we don't have time travel technology yet. So, yeah, and there are actually cases. I list a couple of reports in my book where you have individuals that look different from each other, but still all very humanoid. And one even describes a very modern-looking human in a suit and a tie standing in the corner with a clipboard making notes. Like, those things can all happen in the context of time travel, where you could potentially have one research mission to the past with a group of biologists and medical scientists or anthropologists, linguists, who are all collaborating on the same project at the same time period, but who all hearken from different times in our future, all of these different points throughout our future as we see them. So, yeah, that's definitely an aspect of it, and I totally agree with you.
You know, I was thinking here about traveling into the future, the reverse, like I said, and you getting into there where we go to the future, not just to see how the stocks turn out, how the horse race turns out, et cetera, but to look at the developments of the future. So, for example, I remember the movie Star Trek IV Voyage Home, where Scotty needs to have some kind of surrounding for these humpback whales that's strong enough to bring into the stolen Klingon ship.
Oh,
and
my God,
he invents transparent aluminum using their early Macintosh computer. And then he makes a remark, which is, you know, after being notified by Dr. McCoy, aren't you changing time by doing this? And he responds, maybe that's the way it turned out, that he was the one who invented it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Man, it's been a fun trip down memory lane here. It's bringing back all of these movies and shows I haven't thought about for so long. But yeah, that's the thing, is if that is something he had done, then that's something he had always done. And the same thing exists with Roswell. And again, we think of these as paradoxes, but they're non-paradoxical. And so with the Roswell crash, if it did indeed happen, and we were gifted technology from our future, the big question is, well, then who invented it? And that seemingly is quite paradoxical. The people in the past didn't invent this technology because it just crashed into that point in the past. But if they reverse engineer these things and they figure out how to use the electromagnetic force to propel these craft and to bend space-time and to travel back in time, then the people in the future also didn't create those things because it was a product of technology that happened to crash into the past. And we refer to these as consistency paradoxes, but they're not paradoxical because there doesn't need to be anyone that's created it. It can just always exist without an actual creator. And it's the same thing with Scotty in that particular episode. If he did this and it didn't exist yet, then he has always been the creator, even though he may have not necessarily been such.
Well, I'm one of the people who take the side of the Vulcan Science Directorate, and they determined that time travel is impossible. So,
why is that? Why? What are your qualms with the physics of time and time travel? I'm curious, because you do seem to have a bias against it.
Well, having reflected on it quite some depth myself, and look at how the physicists themselves look at it, and look at how philosophers look at it, then what it seems to be the case is that when it comes to the science of it, that's based on the mathematics. And mathematics is really easy to move things around. You can make things go backwards. You can make things go forwards. If an equation works out going one direction, it'll work out going the other direction. But math is very different from real life. Math is a description of what's going on in real life. So simply because you can put something down in numbers doesn't necessarily mean it's going to translate to the real world. We could take, for example, say Escher's staircase in a 2D picture, and we could plot out what seems to be all of the coordinates of those stairs. And yet, if we were to try to build that in the real world, we would never get those stairs to connect. I think there's some fundamental philosophical flaws in the argument, and especially that whole idea of this block time thing. So it works out, best I can figure it, that if there is such a thing as, say, a block time, like our universe is set like a great big giant long movie on a holographic stage of some kind, well, sure, it could be possible to cut and paste something from one part of it into the other.
Before we cut and paste anything, we have to cut and paste these announcements. All right, get the clipboard. Gene and Randall, you're in.
The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-506-6740. 800-506-6740. That's 800-506-6740.